Chandra, I've been excited to talk to you. I mean,
have you? Because listen, I had to kick people out my office today. This is what's waiting after our conversation. You see that?
No, hold it up a little high. Oh, you see that? It was that cheesecake?
Yes, it was my sister's birthday, and they do happy birthday. I said, I got a podcast of 2 minutes. Give me some cake.
All right, welcome everybody to the Motherlode Show. With me, as always, is Sandra. Sandra, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
I'm actually doing really well. Since the last time we talked, Michigan has won a national championship in football.
Kudos. I'm going to give you your props. Kudos. Your team won, and your other team.
The Lions are still in the playoffs. They won their first playoff game since I was in fourth grade.
And I'm happy for you. I truly am, you know, because my Giants.
Yeah, your Giants. And then also, I should probably say a little quietly, in your house, was it the Eagles, Fly, Eagles, Fly? They didn't do that last night.
Yeah, so.
I was bummed for them. I, there's some former Michigan Wolverines, Brandon Graham, that, you know, was on there. And
yeah.
I was hoping they would do all right, but. I wanted to see him. I wanted to meet him. I thought it would be fun to have a Lions-Eagles playoff game, but that just did not.
No, well, best of luck for the remainder of the season. You know, I have no dog in the fight. I really didn't even from the beginning of the season, but, you know, we'll see. But, I'll tell you this. I did get to meet Michael Strahan.
I saw.
And as a Giants fan, that was the best gift I could ever gotten in the last 5 or 6 years. So as a Giant, you would have thought that he was still playing as happy as I was, but
well, and he still looks like he could get out there and play. That dude's still in some shape.
Yes, he's in great shape. Very pleasant, very nice. But that was the height of my season, 2023-24 NFL
when
season.
I saw that, the pictures of that up on social media, like you could, your face, like you couldn't hide. Like couldn't, if you tried to play it cool at all, you did not succeed.
You know, I thought about that afterwards because there was like, I posted nice pictures, but there were like several pictures and my eyes lit up. Like I have pictures where I look like a kid that just saw like Santa Claus or something, you know? And I was just like, oh yeah, we don't want to. Let me curb my enthusiasm a little bit. But it was very fun, and
he's one of the greats. I mean, especially for the Giants, but even in the whole NFL, he's one of the greats.
Yes. So, and kudos to him. And I don't know if you saw, and taking off topic a little bit, but there was a wonderful story, a heart wrenching story about his daughter on Good Morning America. They did an interview with Robin Roberts and his daughter, who was a freshman in college. And how her story of like being diagnosed with like a brain tumor or something.
Oh, wow.
You know, but there was, you know, and she has survived that and had the treatment and now is trying to help others and looking forward to going back to school. But I say all that to say, because that was shortly after I met him that story broke. And he actually, I guess during the time he was quite absent, you know, on Good Morning America and other things, and I guess people were speculating about where is he, why is he, you know, and you know, as people do, but you know, he was dealing with family, you know, a family matter, and kept it very private. And so now that his daughter found the strength to share her story, and I mean, it was a very touching story, and to see how the family is supporting her, so you know, kudos to him and his family and his daughter, because you know, at the end of the day, we look up to these athletes as like heroes, sports heroes, and giants, no pun intended.
Invincible sometimes too.
Yeah, and invincible. And then when you get to see that they're, you know, they're humanized by their stories, and you know that they have real life matters and things that fame and money cannot solve.
Yep.
It's really you know, touching to for them to share that, to just let us all know that everybody goes through something. So I know with that said, but yes, congratulations to you on all fronts.
Thank
Michigan,
you.
Michigan, the Lions, moving on. We'll keep you posted, ladies and gentlemen.
It's hard. It's hard. Like, I've never had to go through a week being like, do I wear my Michigan shirt because we just won a national championship, or do I support my Lions? Like, I've never had to, at this time of year, I've never had this issue ever. It's very difficult.
Feels good?
It doesn't. It feels good.
Feels good? Okay. So, well, you checked that box off for the Michigan Wolverines. When was the last time they won?
The Michigan Wolverines?
Yeah.
97. Like, so that was back in the Charles Woodson era.
Charles Woodson. Yeah. Okay.
Who is my favorite? He's my favorite all-time athlete of all time. Except for, of course, you know, my Jalen Brunson, you know, my fellow co-host Jalen Brunson, you know, one of my favorite. But yeah, Charles Woodson, just what he did both on offense and defense, and then now in the booth is tearing it up and being himself. And yeah, so if we ever Charles, if you're watching the show, just come on sometime. That'd be great.
Come on. So yeah, this today, you know, we have a special guest in her.
I'm excited to meet her. I'm actually a little nervous because I think the two of us in the same room might. We'll see what happens. But she looks like a very good time and has a great story. And I don't know, Sandra, you might be outnumbered here. I'm not sure.
But I think in a good way, you know, bring it on. You know, I think that, you know, it's about at this stage of my life, I believe, and you could probably appreciate this too, when there's so many things going on, you know, it's good to like surround yourself with people that, you know, make you feel good, and not in a sense that they have to prop you up, but they bring joy to the room. You know what I mean? They're, you know, it's not that type of person where you're just like, you have to worry about what space they're in, like, you know, or if they're going to say the wrong thing to people around, right? Or, you know, or just be miserable and just kind of a Debbie Downer. She's not that type of person. And I've never known her to ever be that person. And I just value her optimism and her zest for life. Yeah. And I learned, I'm sure we're going to learn something. I'm going to learn something that I didn't know, you know, mind you, again, is another friend from college. Yeah. You know, Temple Owls are everywhere, by the way, a little plug. And, so she's just a breath of fresh air in that she just brings this spirit of just humor and how it interconnects with life itself. And that perspective I can truly appreciate, because if you can't laugh at yourself, right? Well, you know, clearly, you know, and I think like she makes me feel as though like things can't be that bad.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And I'm really excited. And it looks like she lives in a bunch of different worlds. And I'm curious to see how those all intersect and collide. And
she's going to bring us some nuggets. I know for sure. We'll have some nuggets. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Chandra Daniels.
All right.
I got to tell you, Chandra, first of all, I'm so excited that you decided to join Steve and I. I've been telling Steve about you because you're a different character. There's really not, you don't fit any one mold, because there's so many things about you that are just larger than life with respect to your personality, your career, and obviously your humor that just brings out so much out of everyone around you. So yes, again, Steve, Chandra doesn't have, so you know, doesn't have any stories for you about my collegiate career as a student or anything. So don't try to
ask. I wasn't that friend, Steve.
She doesn't know anything about me, about that.
I wasn't that friend.
Well, so then what I hear you saying is then I could ask that question. She can make up whatever she wants is what I hear you saying.
Basically, I can definitely tell the narrative that you want to hear, Steve.
Let's get it.
I've been waiting for this day. Like, oh, me and Sandy B.
So, Chandra, I know that you and I have talked a little bit. And we, by the way, Steve, we had the – the fabulous opportunity to attend a New York Knicks game together.
Okay. So my first one ever.
You said you have or you're going to?
We have.
Okay.
We went to the game. She's been to a game, other games, but she's never been in MSG.
Right.
Is that correct? Never been
that
in MSG.
That is correct. That's my first MSG home game. And it was amazing. Fun.
Which game was that?
We lost.
Oh,
so.
Is that game?
Yeah.
Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone.
It's all right. Okay. We have fun, though.
Yes. And so, and it was really nice because Chandra's one of those friends that you pick up where you left off or you pick up where you are. There's right. nothing in between. There's nothing like, oh, I haven't talked to you. Are you mad at me? Are you this? Are you that?
Yeah. So I'm not the IRS. I'm not trying to do an audit. I don't care what you did in the last 7 years. Like, this is where we are now. It's not going to matter to me. Like, you're just wasting time.
That's amazing. Because there are, like, I mean, there's just something about, and I've got, you know, a few of those friends in my life, too. It's like, you're just so happy to see them or talk to them that, like, that in itself.
It's enough. Weird.
Like, why are you going to wait? We haven't talked in 5 years. Why are you going to waste all this time talking about us? We're talking. Let's do it.
I wasn't there for a reason. I don't need a recap. Yep. Right? This is not season 6 of Game of Thrones, Sandra B version. I don't need to recap. I'm good.
Are you saying now she was in Game of Thrones too? We're just going to make up all sorts of stuff. It's going to be awesome.
Yes, she didn't know she was a ghostwriter for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like one of the Lannister roles was based on Sandra Brunson. It's a little known fact.
Okay.
Now, here's a little known fact. I've never even watched Game of Thrones, so I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't even know the character. If that was a character, is that the character?
I mean, if you look behind me a little bit, you could tell I geek out on things a little bit. So, yeah, if you guys have to tone.
I see the mother lobe behind you. I see you, Sandra's head behind you in the basketball. That's what I see. Boop, right there.
Well, wait, so who are those characters, Steve?
Well, so this is Macho Man Randy Savage, Andre the Giant.
I didn't know him.
This is Marty McFly and Doc Brown in the DeLorean from Back to the Future. And then this is, if you've seen, I can't think of it, it's one of my favorite shows, Better Call Saul.
Ooh. Oh, I love that show.
That is Saul, Jimmy from Better Call Saul, because he doesn't turn into Saul.
I don't know what we're talking
about. That guy's
from
Breaking Bad.
He's from Breaking Bad. He's a character from Breaking Bad. It's a spinoff of Breaking Bad.
So, I knew.
And then this is the national championship winning Michigan Wolverines.
This congratulations,
sir. This is in the playoffs, won a playoff game for the second time in my entire life, Detroit Lions. This is a hockey stick, Detroit Red Wings, Steve Yzerman. That's a Taylor Swift book. This is the 1998 Detroit Pistons team. And then this, we know what these things are, don't we, Sandra?
Yes. That's that beautiful crystal ball
Saint Marshall
from our
sent
very own Saint Marshall.
So from our very first Motherlode episode, this was a gift. We point that
awesome.
Out to all of our guests to let them know, like, the standard was set to send us gifts. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to send you something awesome. I'm going to send you a butterfly, period.
Okay, so let's talk about the butterfly. Right. That's a good
let's
segue.
Talk about the butterfly.
Because,
let's talk about the butterfly.
Chandra has this beautiful, beautiful affinity for butterflies. And I call her sometimes Madam Butterfly. Today she's wearing a pin with an owl, but I saw her
that
with
was
a beautiful.
For us.
Okay, so a beautiful, beautiful butterfly pin. And in her office, butterflies and so forth or so on. Chandra, I mean, there's so many ways we can go about starting this conversation, which we're already in the conversation, but tell us why the butterfly is so important to you.
So the butterfly is the only species that we know of that dies to itself and becomes another species.
Oh.
Right? A caterpillar doesn't have wings, and a butterfly doesn't crawl.
Yeah, I didn't even think about
that. A caterpillar has to go and become one with itself, immerse itself, die to self, alone in a storm, you know, it hangs on a branch. It hangs up high, but it does all of this alone, dies to self, and then if it survives that turmoil, it becomes the beautiful creature that it is.
butterfly.
That's amazing.
That's deep.
It is. It is. And it has to do with my faith. I am a strong believer in God and just the resurrection story of Jesus Christ. And to me, the butterfly embodies that whole die to self, become a new being, go off and do great things.
That's awesome.
Still holding the essence of who you are, because the butterfly is still here. I mean, a caterpillar is still there, right? Yep. But it became a new being because it took a risk to say, I gotta get off this ground. I got something better to do. And a butterfly pollinates everything.
Got it. So. Who was that? Was that Rick?
Yes. I was just like, I'm recording my podcast.
What's up, Rick?
Tell my buddy I said hi.
He could pop in.
Tell
my buddy I said hi.
Yeah, he could pop in. He could pop in.
You could pop in and say hello.
You know he want to pop in. You know he want to say something. Oh, he want to say nothing?
No, he says he's cool.
Well, we know he's cool.
We know he's cool. Right.
Okay, so that is interesting when you talk about the transitioning. And so, you know, where you are today, where you're sitting right now, you are a director of career services at Vaughan College of Aeronautics and Technology.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
It's an aviation school, right?
It's an aviation
school. And the butterfly got wings. The first airplane was a butterfly in nature. So it all comes together.
It really is.
It really is.
Right.
And so tell us about your journey as how you got to become the director there and what it is that you do to help your students.
Okay. I'm going to tell you guys the short version because the long version is way too long of an episode. And you guys have to have other guests, right? I don't want you to win an Emmy just for me, right? I don't want you guys to get, like, awards just because you had me on the show.
Plus, Anna Lee, I think we only get a certain amount of recording hours, right? And then we have to upgrade our account.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And I don't want you to have to invest when this is going to be a quick story. I myself at Temple University went to the career services office and got my first job and loved it and fell in love with the whole process of helping people get jobs. And I became that person. I was like the job person for my friends. However, I had no clue what I wanted to do in my own life. Like, I just like, okay, let's just work. And end up through my own metamorphosis, working with people with disabilities, and happened to be exposed to a vocational rehab program at Hofstra University, and was very excited about my graduate program. And one of my professors visited where I was working and said, "Hey, you would be really good, a rehab counselor." And I was like, "Really?" But I needed to pay to go to school. And the guy I was dating actually was a professor at Monroe College. He said, "Sean, just look on the college website. They're always hiring." And I looked, and it was assistant director for career service at a Hofstra. I said, "Oh, I could do this." Signed up, went in there, and just knew that job was mine because it was employee relations, talking to people, getting them to come to get jobs for our students. And started my career in career services there. Had a great mentor, now my mentor, Fred Burke, and who I just spoke to just the other day. He's amazing. And started my career and started working with students with disabilities at the college. They weren't being serviced enough when it came to looking for jobs. So I just took what I knew from the job I had previously, brought it to the table because I was studying, and then was able to get involved with diversity, equity, inclusion because I was working with disability students. And if you think about it, and what I studied was that disability is the only area in life that you, I, or anyone, we all can check that box. You and I can become disabled today, out of it tomorrow. So that box levels the playing field for all of us.
Yeah.
And started working in DEI and kind of just stayed in career services, higher education realm throughout my career. She's our version.
Well, that's a good version. That's a good version. I appreciate that. And I didn't know that. Oh, I lost an earring. Sorry. Yeah, I'll take them off.
Mine are both silly.
I didn't know that you were getting people jobs. at school.
Yeah, well, so you were playing games, okay? And not playing games like
volleyball.
You were playing volleyball. Okay. You were out on the road. So, like I said, Steve, I didn't see you. You were gone, you know, most of our semester because you were a student athlete. Okay. I was, you know, back home trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to do. And the thing was that jobs were, like, calling me. I would go to the board. And the boards used to be cards on the wall. You had to look and see. And I would pull them off and give them to friends. Like, look at this job. Look at this job. But give it back to me because I got to put it back on the wall.
I actually worked in the career services office.
Okay.
And you do it for altruistic, amazing reasons. I did it because, as Sandra knows, in the Deerfield area, Lincolnshire, okay, you know, the northern suburbs of Chicago, the dog sitting and house sitting jobs were like amazing. So I knew if I got that seat, I would get first crack at that board that you're talking about.
Okay.
And I would house sit for sports agents for, you know, and they'd be like, hey, here's like $500 to go watch my mansion for a weekend.
But you did it for altruistic reasons too. You were honest with yourself and you knew what you wanted to
do. Yeah, I wanted to make $500 hanging out in a mansion for a weekend. Yeah, I don't know.
But you were honest. Like, you know what? Altruism has so many different levels. You were honest. Some people, you know, I didn't want to, my students come and they want to work here. I have a student, I want to work career services because they know this is where the jobs are. Yep. But the jobs are posted. They could get them online. They just think I have them in my pockets, right? Oh, Miss Daniels. No, I really don't. But I do understand, you know, it was a hot seat. I just was looking for something and just fell in love with, you know, being able to help people match who they were, and got excited over it and didn't realize it was something that was that I could do. And once I found that I could do it, it was no stopping.
And that's a great feeling too. Like for me specifically is, so I own a couple businesses, and one of them, you know, we've had a number of employees, and when you can get that person in that seat that just loves what they're doing and are using gifts and abilities, and you're able to help make that match, for me, I don't know if there's a greater feeling in the world than doing that. And then on the other side of that, you know, we've hired people that we thought would be a great fit, and then they're coming in every day just feeling, you know, like this, like I don't want to be the reason somebody is feeling less than about themselves, you know, and a lot of that comes with the fit. And so like people like you that are taking personality, that are taking skill, and they're really trying to match them with places that they will feel, you know, valued, not just from the people, but inside themselves. Like I think that's
I get to hear these kids dream, right? Yeah. Or not, some of them are not kids. Some of them are career transitioners. A lot of people who are in this industry are aviation enthusiasts. They love airplanes. They love aerospace. They love NASA. They love anything in the sky. So they know they want to be here. That's why I love this particular job. I love the most because I'm with people who know what they want to do. So I work with these engineers, kids who were building Lego when they were like 2, right? And then comes here and want to design the next rocket ship. Our robotics team was like number 1 in the world. And I was like, the world? Like, everybody? Right? And they was like, yeah, but they're so amazing. And all they do is focus on this. And then you have the kid who's always wanted to fly a plane. But it takes amazing amount of hours, dedication, discipline, and finances.
Yep.
And, you know, just to keep them going. So it's amazing to hear how excited these kids are, and that there's a place that they can actually live their dreams. And then I get to be the end game. I tell, you know, everyone here, I'm like, I tell admissions, y'all bag them, we tag them, right? We make sure, you know. No, seriously, like, we make sure they go out into the world. You know, we have I'm very proud to say we have a 98% placement rate for our students that graduate here.
98?
98%.
Wow. Very well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that. And that is not just me and my office. I tell, it's the Vaughn community, from the president all the way down to anyone else who's not the president, right? So all of us are involved in the process to make sure that our students land where they do.
So, I mean, obviously me not you know, I am not that person that you described that, you know, actually my business partner is now a pilot. He's been one for about a year and, here, let's see. I bought him.
That's so awesome.
I bought him these little stickers that I'm going to give him because I thought they were adorable. So, but anyways.
That is so nice.
You're
a good business partner.
Leaving in that field. So I can think, obviously there's going to be some pilots. Obviously there's going to be some people working on some planes. There's going to be some people in, you know, engineering a plane, but like, what are maybe some of the jobs in that field that we don't know about that, what would be some of those?
Well, the ones that people don't pay attention to is the air traffic controller. Like, honestly, I know we see the tower, but you never see those people because they're always doing their job, right?
One of the always the highest stress, like when you see the lists come out of like highest stressor
jobs,
isn't that always stressful. Near the top of the list?
I believe so, but I think you also have to have a certain type of mindset, right? You have to, because you are guiding these planes, your traffic, you are guiding air traffic, and you're on the ground, right? You're not even in the sky, so you're on the ground basically. And we, you and I, right now, we are, and I'm right near the airport, right? I can see the planes coming in. I wish I'd have done this up at the tower, but it would have been too noisy, and we wanted to keep this intimate and really professional. But, you know, there's a lot of planes above us right now, and each of us in different places. There are people managing the traffic in the sky, and that's amazing. Like, when you really think about it, and they trust they are about safety. That job is totally about safety. You have to care for people to want to make sure they land where they're supposed to land. That's crazy to me, but it's amazing at the same time. Sam and I were talking earlier. People forget about the mechanics. Your plane has to be checked for oil. Your plane has to be checked for tire pressure. Your plane has to be checked for everything. It just don't land and fly. At least that's what I thought before I got here. Now that I'm here, I learned that there's a whole fleet of people. The avionics, the computerized portion of that. Every day I learn something new in this place. Every day I'm like, wait, what do you do? I'm blown away because they talk this language, and it's easy to them. And I'm just like, I'm just going to catch my flight and go to sleep because y'all know what y'all doing.
I am thankful every day that there is not a Steve Long in any of those positions because...
we are probably thankful too.
I'm like, what was I supposed to be doing? Oh, there's planes. Oh my gosh, I was supposed to be guiding those planes. And I have the two air and oil, both of those lights are on my car right now. So, yeah.
On your car.
On my car.
Yeah, nope.
Nope. Who's riding with you? You have passengers?
Yeah.
Get that check, Steve. Get a check.
I've got a guy. DJ's auto. Sean
and it's winter. You want your tire pressure done because it's wintertime.
Yeah, I got you. I'm gonna do it right after this. Okay. I promise. I'll check in. Promise.
You'll check in? Okay. I just want you to be safe.
I know you.
Those are the things that you don't think about because... You don't. Like, what I was thinking... Like, when I go... I taught my kids from an early age when they were flying. It's like when the doors close, there's nothing you can do. So you pray for the pilot, you pray for the staff, you pray for a safe, you know, traveling mercies, as people would say. And then you go to sleep, you relax, kick back, relax, because you know what?
That's it. It's a wrap. We all become equal opportunity citizens when we are 30,000 feet. Now, every time I get on a plane, I said, don't nobody act up today. We don't have no time for no foolishness. Because you see all these videos where people are fighting. Like, I don't get it. You are in the sky. What are you arguing about in the sky? You in the sky, man. But, you know. Hey.
I mean, who's...
Hey, what do I know?
Somebody's phone is ringing. Somebody's important.
It's getting close to the end of the day, so everybody wants to do squeezing
last minute assignments.
All right, answer. Put them on speaker. Let's go. Let's do this.
Yep. No, I don't even want to do it. Y'all don't. You don't really want to. You don't want to really get me. I get my president be like, that was a very nice podcast you did, but did you have to answer the phone?
No.
No, I was on lunch break. I was on my lunch break. I took a late lunch today.
So with the, and you know, you're making me think about just the whole space of aviation that we take for granted, I guess, as most people do. It's a convenience for us, right? But when people, absolutely, it's a convenience, we think nothing of, we care about, is the flight on time and do I get my luggage? That's it. Right. You know, and maybe a cocktail or two during, you know, the flight. Mm-hmm. What's the meal or whatever?
What are those little the biscuits that you get now? The little and the little red.
Oh, those little
They're like cinnamony.
The biscotti.
Yeah, those. I need to get those too. That's
they sell them.
They sell them in the store,
but they sell them in a big. Like in a big pack.
Yeah, Costco has them now. I saw that.
Yes, they sell them in a big pack.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something, Steve. Them things are addictive.
No, you don't have to tell me.
You know, like, I fly a lot, and after a while, sometimes I'm like, no, ma'am. Like, give me something else. I got to have another option.
Yeah.
Like, that's my last resort. I don't want the biscotti biscuit. Give me another option, you know.
But I will say this. I do pay attention when I'm on a plane. Half the time I'm asleep, truthfully. But the times I'm awake, there's less air traffic to the restrooms when they serve biscottis and little trinkets. It's when it's a lot that they serve, the bathrooms become...
Okay. Well, so, yeah.
I don't think you want a full-fledged meal.
No, I didn't. No, you're right. I don't want a full-fledged meal. I try not to get up during flights.
Yeah, me either. Right. I want to just be where I am. There's no flight long enough. Well, I did go to Ireland, and that was a nice flight, but still wasn't long enough. And I went to Hawaii, and that broke up. Like, you get off of L.A., and you still have to fly. Right. So I haven't been anywhere that's long enough for me to be like,
I was on a
let
plane.
Me get up a stretch.
I was on a plane for 17 hours last summer.
Where did you go?
I flew back from Abu Dhabi, Dubai, to Newark.
Yeah.
17 hours.
Yeah.
Philippines to LA. 17 hours. The Philippines, Manila to Los Angeles.
LA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
You got some sky miles.
Not from the carrier that I use all the time.
Oh, well.
I'm just now getting into the points game. So one of the guys that works for me, his name's Jordan. He's teaching me how to use points and use miles, and he's like, get this card and do this. And so I'm starting to learn that game. It's a great game.
It's a money-saving game. It's a great game. It's like playing Monopoly, and it really is your money and your points.
Yeah. I've wasted 10 years of probably trips and travel because I hadn't had this kind of mindset. Yeah. So I'm about, you know, month into it, and you know, just the way you're every time you spend something, you're like, this is an opportunity for me and my kids to go to London or something. So
exactly.
My Lyft rides, I get Delta miles on my Lyft rides, and I take Lyft a lot, right? My Uber, all of that stuff.
A lot of people partner.
I was able to get free flights when they start to add up. It's good, and your hotel racks up, like anything you do. Travel is like a big thing, right? Since COVID, we were all locked up. People couldn't wait to get outside. Well, once we got back outside, we realized how precious outside is. So we're doing more outsiding.
Mm-hmm.
And people are, I think I read something just the other day. The airlines are cheering all of this traveling that we're doing. Like, they're excited that folks are traveling, especially international travel.
Yeah. So, but one thing I did notice on the Chase, so I'm like, Chase points. Almost all the experiences are in New York, so it looks like if I'm going to do that, I gotta come out and see you all
in New York.
Well, I told you about that cake. That's one thing you get when you get here.
That is, if I hit a Knicks game and it sounds like that cake, I don't know what else I need to do. Maybe a show.
You would have to fly into LaGuardia.
Okay.
Fly to LaGuardia.
I'm right across the street from LaGuardia. I get your cake. And then, you know what's crazy? The bus that across the street goes to MSG.
There you go.
Bus goes right into the city.
Done deal.
See you the sand. I can see you can fly in and I send you off the sand.
And can you eat on the bus?
Okay. Yeah, this is New York City. You can do anything on the bus. Well,
you can do anything.
I mean, people have probably done everything on the bus. I don't know whether you're supposed to or not, but I can imagine.
No, the fact is whether you're supposed to or not is a different story, but
I don't think you'd want to, though.
I think eating is probably the best thing you can do on a bus without, you know, people looking at you like something.
So I'll show up at MSG yeah. with cheesecake all up in this beard, and we'll go for it.
No, so let's talk about you on the comedic front.
Yeah, so I've been reading a humor consultant.
Yes,
I know a lot of consultants. Yes. I know some people.
But do you know any that's funny? Do you know any funny consultants?
Oh my gosh, not.
While you're working, while they're working for you, while they're working with you, while they're doing the work that you pay them to do, are they funny?
Not really. I'm going to get in trouble because I do a lot of networking, and hopefully some are listening to the show, but now I'm hoping they kind of don't. But yeah, no, not really. No, they're not.
They're not funny on purpose.
Because that's not, they don't do it in the spirit of humor. So I am a consultant that does what I do in the spirit of humor.
Okay, so you're not a consultant on humor. So you wouldn't take somebody and be like, this is how you can be more funny.
Yeah, I don't do that. No, I'm funny.
Yeah, you don't be the funny one. That's my job.
Yeah, that's my job. Yeah,
so
yeah. Because you know what? When you work with people, and when I work with people, I work with people on change, right? And it's really about they want to do something different. They want a strategy. And why do you have a strategy? Because you're changing in plans and systems and processes. These are hard conversations. Hard conversations. And it's hard to kind of want to change. Humor is a language, and it's a language that we all speak. You might laugh a little bit harder. I might laugh a little bit softer, but when you hear laughter, you know what that is.
Yep.
There's no kind of deciphering like, oh, what language is that? Oh, what they speaking? I'm speaking funny. And you get it.
And so, now I'm conscious of my laugh. Oh, my gosh.
It's fine. But the thing is that when you're helping people work on themselves, their businesses, or anything that's close to making a difference home, because I can always change you, right? I can make you do what you want to do from my perspective. Oh, but I have to change? Really? And I try to do it in a way that gives them a place to understand that it's okay. And so using my natural gift, speaking the way I'm speaking, I have conversations like this with you. They're natural, they're honest, but then most importantly, they come from a place of love where helping someone work through that change, they don't feel admonished or conscious of failing. So what? We'll try this again. Let's get back on the horse. Yep. And laughter is a form of agreement. When you think about everything you laugh at, why are you laughing? Because it's true. Laughter is the social contract of truth.
Wow.
And it. Think about every joke you laughed at. You've connected with it on some level. Or you said, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. That wasn't funny. Because there was something in there that wasn't true to you.
Right.
Right? And so when I say human consultant, that gets people off. They want to know who I am in the first. Like, oh, what's that? And they think, what do you think? No, I'm not here to tell you fix your funny. I don't know what that is. But I do know how to do some executive coaching. I do know how to help people through strategizing some of their businesses. And I do know how to listen.
Yeah.
That I can do.
Well, and I think, too, one of the biggest things if I know a lot of the consultants that I know, like once you get the trust, that's half, like it's all gravy from there, right? Like you said, some people it's hard to work on themselves, which means it's hard to open up about themselves and work on that. But if you can get the trust, and to me, there's no better way to get somebody to trust you than and feel more comfortable than if you're laughing together and you're on that same. Yeah, that's
Right. And my job is to get you to trust you.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not doing this work. I'm here to help you get what you need to get done, to see a perspective that you can't see. But my job isn't easy because you're paying me to do this, but I'm invested in your success. I am.
Right.
I am. I believe in myself that much that I can help you. Right? And so my job is to get you to trust you. Because I trust me. I wouldn't go in business if I did it. I wouldn't do this whole, I came up with this whole, like who comes up with the title of the humor consultant? What is that? I did a whole little movie and everything. I think I posted on Facebook saying when I first came out, I had this whole little coming soon. It was kind of nice, Steve. It was kind of nice.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna see where I can put it where you can find it, because I had closed everything off, because at some point I wasn't trying to mix my comedy with my day, because you know comedy was I wasn't comfortable with myself, and I was just like, oh, this is my private time, and da da da. So I'm just gonna just unlock everything, and you know, people see what they want. At this point, it's you know.
So that's a perfect stuff. That's a perfect segue for my next thing. So, because I want to know how you transition, or even if you do, from what you do in the day, or what you're doing now, you know, and how did you come into, like, explain to us, like, Monarch Productions, how you even got
there. So how did Clark Kent become Superman?
And yes, exactly.
How did Chandra Danes become Madam Butterfly? Oh, that's nice.
Yes. How did you become Madam Butterfly?
You know what? This is gonna take you off for a loop. But no, it's not.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
No, you ready? Therapy. I went to my therapist, Steve and Sandra, and my therapist was so blown away by what I was going through. She would wait for my appointments, right? And I would schedule and I would reschedule. And she said, you know, listen, she was like, I bump people for you to come in here. I usually don't elongate sessions, like do back to back. I have done 2 hours with you just to hear where the end where this was going. And I sat up the other night and realized you need to work this out on stage. Like, you have something, and I don't even think you know what you have. And so I'm just like, so I'm paying you to tell me I'm funny? Shouldn't that be the other way around? She's like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. She's like, listen. And it didn't click, because I was always funny. I got in trouble in school, like, for cracking jokes and stuff. Like, it was just a coping. I was that person. And I didn't think of it as a, you know, I watched Red Fox and I watched Richard Pryor. But to me, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I didn't know I could do that. And my therapist said, girl, she looked up a class for me. I took a class. You ready for this? I failed comedy class. I failed comedy class. I know. I failed comedy class because you had to do a bringer show. It was a bringer show. You had to bring people. And I didn't want people to know I was doing this class because I was doing it for therapy. Right? And I didn't want people to know that I was going to therapy because what I was going through. Like, you know, all these layers. Like, again, the truth will set you free. I could have passed that class. I could have been, like, somebody today. Well,
was that a good class then, would you say? Did you learn? Okay.
It was an excellent class. I learned, here's the thing. I went to the show to support my writing partner. But instead of just telling the folks I didn't have anybody to bring and just do my bit, I chose to forfeit my time on stage. And what really happened was I had stage fright. I learned that there's difference between conversational comedy and stand-up comedy, right? Stand-up, you're not reliant on this here where you and I are going back and forth and not picking pieces to Jones on, right? Stand-up is all here. It's all here. It's all observational.
Wow.
And I realized that, oh my God, I could do this, but I learned that a lot of my life was me failing and getting back up again, right? Learning and getting back up again. Doing the wrong thing and learning the lesson. Now, I had a hard head, so it was a lot of dents and bruises. But through that, I mean, some of them you can see, sorry about that. But the truth of the matter is that I am happy to have those dents and bruises. I'm happy to have gone through that, because a lot of it I would not have learned. And a lot of it I would not have been able to have this level of trust that people do give me. You know, I have people last night coming home from my outing, and this lady on the train, we had a whole conversation, like she and I were best friends. And I literally was just like, yo, that's for me, I was just like, thank you. Because I will never see this lady again in my life, probably, ever. But she shared stuff that I was just like, wow, interesting. Nothing bad, just she was free to share. I commend her on that.
I took 2 comedy classes. One of them, the guy called, his name is Dobie Maxwell, really, really funny guy. But mm-hmm. he always used the line, like, the best comedians are dented cans. You know, it's the ones that have the story to tell, the ones that are able to do that. And that line always, always really stuck with me. And then I had a chance to take one with Louis Anderson, and I got up there to do my, you know, everybody got up and got to do like a 5-minute bit, and then he would, you know, kind of critique it a little bit. And I got up to tell mine, and he's like, let's talk afterwards. And I'm like, okay. So he's like, what you have there is amazing. He goes, you're more vulnerable than everybody else. Cause I was talking about my dad that had passed away, and he goes, but here's the thing, you have to go there, but they can't feel your pain. Like you have to go there, but they can't take on that pain or feel sorry or feel sad. He goes, so if you figure that out, he's like, I think you're going to be pretty good.
You can't transfer the pain. Like, you have to be able to give them the story, like give them the story without giving them the pain. Right. And that's what changes you. Like you have been able to accept the loss, but you find what keeps it going. Yep. But yeah, so laughter is transformational, which goes back to the butterfly, which goes back to the plane, which goes back to aviation, which connects to my day. You see how I did that? You see? You want to know how I did my night with my day? Boom. There you go. There you go.
So have you ran into people in those? So for me, I call that like worlds colliding, like the old Seinfeld episode where it's like all of a sudden, you know, my networking type businessy stuff, and then I've got some church stuff, and then I've got some, you know, dad stuff, and then I've got some comedy, and I run trivia nights and some comedy. And so, like, every once in a while, those worlds will just collide. You're like,
yes. Yeah, so I think it's happening. So I am part of the Black Women in Comedy, Black Women in Comedy Festival. Okay. Every year, it's been around for this is the fifth year. And last year, I was probably more involved than I've ever been. And I was kind of like executive director of operations and some stuff. I was like the Olivia Pope in the background, like police. I loved it too, because I was doing stuff and really getting stuff done. And
I love Olivia Pope, by the way.
Oh, we could have a whole scandal. Sandra knows I was a scandal. Like, I would take the notes and point out the dots in the B613. Steve, we could have a whole separate conversation about that. No one ever had a podcast about scandal, and I think that needs to happen. But that's a whole nother thing. That needs to happen. Right,
we'll talk.
We'll talk, right? I'm going to call it the white hat.
Ooh.
And so, ooh, yes, I already, I am. So, in doing that, it was at the end of my semester. So I didn't want it to interfere with work, but I was finishing up and took vacation. Well, somehow one of my students, I think they were passing, heard me talk. Oh, you're going to be somewhere. I want to come. So I said, okay. So I invited I'm part of student affairs. I invited my student affairs team to come, and my president came. And my show was at Don't Tell Mom. It's on 9th Avenue and Broadway. If you look it up, it's a nice cabaret-type lounge. It's been around since the 50s. People do a lot of singing with the piano. They do a lot of these songs. But in the back, they have other rooms where you can do comedy. We had a great night, but my president showed up. The president and I was just like, you know what? It is what it is. However, I knew the type. I know the type of comedy that I do, so I was okay with it. But I didn't. It's about being at this place when people know you're a comedian. Like, I have a guy that comes to me once a month, a very, very, very esteemed faculty. I love him to death. He tells me these jokes, and these jokes are gems because they're old fashioned. You gotta think jokes, but they're corny, but they're funny, right? He's like, I got a joke you could use, and I'm like, I'm afraid to use your jokes because. He's like, don't be afraid. They've been around forever. Just recycle them. And I'm just like, interesting. But he comes and gives me once a month. But once people know you do this, they think they can crank you up and that. So it's more about being taken seriously in my day job because, you know, I do manage an office. I do have a staff. I do work with a team. I work with students. You know, I don't want to – I'm not a joke. Nope. Like, I'm serious. And I love my job. Like, no, right? Or when they see me, when I'm serious, it's like, oh, but I thought you was funny. No, I am funny, but not right now.
There's a time and place for that.
There's a time and place. So what happens is I don't want to become stereotypical. But that was me. That's something that I had to carry with me. And what happens is I do a lot of open, we do a lot of open houses, and they call me to speak about our outcomes and what we do. And of course, you know, I enjoy speaking. That's one of my gifts. But I'm funny. I can't help it. At 8 o'clock in the morning, y'all want me to come in here, and I'm gonna tell the people. Usually, I don't get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, but I'm here because I want you to be here. These people didn't tell me to come. I love my job, and I go through all of it. I'm also an animated speaker, so it all comes together. But I had to put the cap on it and say, look, this is what you get. But this is what you get. And I do all things with excellence. So my thing is that my work should speak for itself. Whether I'm being funny or whether I'm not being funny but doing work. At the end of the day, I just want you guys to know that I gave you my best. You, even now, and my students, and whomever I come in contact with. That you got excellence from me. You didn't get half done, mediocre. You got my best. And that's all I have to give, but I'll give it to you.
I need to go. I think I need to like pretend to be a prospective student because I'd love to be at that 8 o'clock meeting.
It's good. It's really good. I actually hyped myself up. I was like, "What? Yeah, I did that, Chandra. I did that." And I saw you see these faces, right? And you see they come out. These parents are shopping for schools. These kids are excited. The last thing you want to hear at 8 o'clock in the morning is someone saying, thank you for coming to Vaughn. We would love to have you. Thank you for being here. You want to be like, yo, listen. Y'all about to be up in the sky. You understand? Y'all about to be up in the sky. Right? I'd be like, do you know who's in my phone? Do you know? I got everybody in my phone. Like, you guys could be connected. And then when you tell them the 98% and you tell them, you know, the type of, you know, who do you want to work for? Oh, I want to work for Boeing. Yo, we just got 6 students that went there last week. For real? Yeah. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, SpaceX was here the other day doing a presentation. So, you know, you bring to the table. And here's my thing. I can't sell you what I'm not or what I don't know. I love my job. And I know what this school does. I know what it's supposed to do. I also know that if I get up at 8 o'clock and do this with the school, they will help me help my students. I need everybody to help me do my job. I can't do it by myself. I have people sending me jobs from every department. Yo, Chandra, can you send this out to the students? Or I told someone, are you able to talk to someone? Are you able to meet with someone? So I'm a job broker. I'm here to make sure our students can get jobs. So I have to be available and open to everyone. I can't be the ratchety lady talking about, I ain't got no more jobs. And you got to come back tomorrow. Man, what's this resume? You ain't got, like, when you,
Mike Wazowski.
What are you doing?
Next.
Right next. So, and you can't be close. You can't be close. Also, you know, I'm a black woman in a white male dominated industry, right? And I'm a black woman sitting in a chair that was with a man was here for 12 years. Yep. And I came in not knowing anything about aviation. But I knew about career services, and I knew about service and students. And the gentleman who left said, Chandra, I'm ready. I'm okay with leaving because I know I'm leaving in good hands. He said, what can I do to help you succeed? I was like, if you can introduce me to your contacts. So when they asked, I don't have to do that. Oh, he left. No, I don't want to have those conversations. They see we had a smooth transition. And
that's
he introduced
smart.
Me to, or yeah, because my thing is, why I don't need to spend time getting to know you. You telling me how you had this relationship with him. If he introduced me, before he walks out the door, there's no conversation. Ask him why he leaving. He's right here. I just need to know about these jobs. But, you know, and he understood that. So I was able to transition here well. I had great support from my president, my vice president. My boss is dope. Like, we have the same birthday, me and my boss. We have the same birthday. What are the odds of that? Like, the odds of having the same boss as your manager? But on top of that, she's no nonsense, but she's also, like, she's about growth, and she's about seeing, you know, the potential, and she believes in this office, and she believes in the work that I'm doing, and if she's like, Chandra, if that's what you want to do, and you want to work with it, I support it. And so when you feel valued, when you feel supported, and when you know that you're bringing your best A game, you'll get the return. People treat you honestly how you treat yourself, period.
Interesting.
Right? They say, oh, it's how you treat, but it's how you treat yourself. How they see you take care of yourself, how they see you monitor, they, oh, she not one to, no, I'm not one to play with. You know, like, oh, your office is so nice. It has to be. I have employees coming in here. You can't have them looking like they're coming in the closet. It got to look like they're investing in something that this is where your students, this is where your new employees come for counseling. If I look like my stuff was turned over, would you trust me that I couldn't take time to put stuff in order? So people
probably
really do
not
treat you. Yeah, people treat you how you treat yourself. And a lot of us, some of us are not doing, you know, too well. Some of us are taking it out on others because we don't treat ourselves as we should. You know, so I'm learning through this work that the comedy is about, and I said to Sam today, I'm appreciative of our friendship because sometimes a really good friend just inspires you to keep being a better person. That's really, to me, what friendship is about. It inspires you to keep being a better person. And I forgot how dope I was. I really did, Sam. I forgot. I was so pouring into these kids that I forgot that I got dreams, too. I might not be in the sky, but I got dreams, too.
So, but you know, that leads me to a point that I think we kind of touched on and hinted on because, you know, you said like humor or comedy is like a language and mm-hmm. I never thought of it that way, but it is true. And sometimes humor hurts because it's truthful, right? It hurts. But why does it hurt?
Because,
right? That's
mm-hmm,
my...
because we've been believing the lie so long. That is like, oh. Now you can continue with the lie, like, but the truth is the truth. It's not gonna go nowhere. It never does. The truth is the four plus four is always gonna be eight. So is six plus two. So is seven plus one.
Three plus
those
five.
Those are all truths. But those are all three different truths. But they're not going nowhere.
I just busted out a calculator. That those all check out. All three of those check
good.
Out. Yeah.
Good.
You
good,
so
good.
Wait, you said something, and I really have to
yes.
get this out. You said
get
something.
Get it right.
Earlier today, because you gave me some nuggets, I'm trying to tell you, in
I
talking,
tried,
catching
I
up. And I want you to share with Steve. You told me equity doesn't mean equality.
Equality.
Please expand on that.
Okay. All right. So, Steve, Sandra, you've been watching the news, and, you know, you live in the same country I live in. All right, you see what's going on. I ain't got to go through the semantics. So this whole thing with diversity, equity, and inclusion really is concerning because it doesn't have to be. We don't have to be doing all of this. It's just you just drumming up stuff. Now you're getting desperate. Like, you really just drawing. Equity, when you hear it, think about it. People talk about pay equity all the time, right? They don't say pay equality. It's equity. Equity is the equivalent of, Sandra is 5-something.
10.
Okay, I didn't want to say because I know you're tall. I'm 5'2". I'm short. Sandra and I are looking over the fence watching these guys practice for the game. But the fence is too tall. Sandra only needs one box to stand on to look over the fence because she's 5'10", and the fence is 5'11". Or whatever. I need three boxes because I'm 5'2", and I need to see as well. The equity is I needed three boxes to stand on so I can get to the equivalent of seeing what Sandra sees. She doesn't get to say that I don't deserve those three boxes because they're three boxes. She really didn't say nothing at all, but she wanted to say something that has nothing to do with the equality of the number of boxes. It's the fact that we want to see. And if it takes three boxes for me to see, and it takes one box for her to see, then that's equity. Right. She got her box, I got my box. The end game is the seeing.
Yep.
And when we look at this diversity and equity and inclusion, we always want to be equal. No. My life is different than your life, Steve. Right? And so you might not have the oil pressure and the oil thing checked on your car, but I bet you got your bills paid for your gas and your heat in your house.
Because my wife does that. Yeah.
Right. But if it was just you, the thing is that you're paying, you're putting into what is most valuable, but you're putting the outcome of what you're going to do. So the whole thing about equity is being able to level the playing field with the outcome, right? We're both looking over the fence. I can't see over the fence with one box. So that's not equity. You want to give me equality, then you give me one box like her, or you give her three boxes. Now what? She has more boxes. She still can see.
Yeah.
She's always going to be taller than me. Why she got to be super taller than me? She's not going nowhere.
So are you? So then you're suggesting that a lot of times, rather than people focusing on the fact that, oh my gosh, now you can both see over the fence, other people are being like, well, why does she get three boxes and she only gets one?
Right, because we're so focused on more. Everything's more, 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 and it's not necessarily the case. Equity has to do with making sure that I have what I need to get to what the end game, the end result. Maybe Sandra doesn't even need a box. Maybe she can see. The fact of the matter is we're both trying to look over the fence, and I can't see. I'm at a disadvantage. And when you put it against race, gender, or anything else, the disadvantage is whatever it is, but whatever you need to make it work so you can get to the end game, it will be different from person to person. It's individualization. You can't give me what Sandra gives because we're two different people. We're black women. We went to the same school. Shoot, she's Sandra and I'm Chandra. We both got DRA at the end of our name. I mean, we have a lot of similarities. But the end of the day is that the equity is something that we don't pay attention. And that's what they're not fighting about diversity. When you pull it away, they're fighting about the equity. Because we live in a world that I have to have more than you in order to feel validated that I exist. Don't know why we've done that. Don't know why it works out that way. But it's become a corroding factor to what we're seeing across the board with the human spirit. We all get the same air to breathe. If COVID didn't show us that. Before, I remember when COVID said, we all, oh, bless us, we all got the same air to breathe. Take the mask off and we back to the craziness.
Yep.
Right? But, you know, at the same, we all breathing the same air. We're all breathing it. So, I mean, it doesn't discount that we all get a chance to live a good life and all this other stuff, but I don't count Sandra as any less than or any better than. She's just my friend. Steve, I just met you. I don't see you less than or any than anyone because I just met you. No, I see you as Steve. Yeah. That's it.
We need to get back to this being.
The world's too busy right now. It's too. And then with this flicking and the flossing, with this, you scroll. Every 3 seconds, your brain is taking a new, and you're desensitizing yourself from the human experience. And so what happens is when I'm funny, right, I get you. We in here, we laughing, but now y'all paying attention because this is the real message I'm trying to give you.
When are we going to go to a show?
So, you know, I really need to do one. And my heart is open.
People are begging to see you. I've been to one.
And Steve, my shows are shows. They are shows. And not in a way that I'm braggadocious, in a way that I want you to have an experience. I want you to come in, and my show is called the BFF Comedy Show, right? So it's the beautiful, fabulous, and the funny, but it also plays on the moniker that women have BFFs, right? And so it started out as being more about having all women, because there were women missing, a lot of us were missing on the comedy scene, and my thing is if you can't get them, just produce it yourself. And I enjoy that. However, we started just having anybody, because anybody could be a BFF. And my locations were always important. So the one that Sandra came to, we were in Philadelphia. I believe it was Logan. And, but the performances were great.
There was a lot in that, by the way, which I...
Yeah. You know why? Because I love Philadelphia, and I met all my best good friends in my heart I met in Philadelphia. I lied to you not. Philadelphia is a special place for me. So I try not to disparage it. But there are certain places, and I have to be honest, that you just, I mean, even they be like, girl, where you going? that was what you received. Like, but I'm not going to, what did mama say? If you ain't got nothing to say good, don't say nothing at all. So
I grew up in Detroit. I think there's some of those parts there too. So,
you know, I've never been to Detroit. I want to get out there. I just want to see
it's awesome. If you went 10, 15 years ago, but it's rebounded and it's a good city. I'm proud to be from there. You should check it out.
I'm looking forward to going to Detroit. It was on my list this year.
Are you going soon?
No, because for whatever reason, the game that the Knicks were playing in Detroit has now been switched back to New York. I don't know why.
What?
So there's
only got four wins. No. Why are we taking away home games? What is happening?
It has something to do with the in-season tournament scheduling, I believe. And I just saw an email that says, good news. You have two extra tickets, you know, whatever, because the game was switched to be a home game for the Knicks. So
is that the Detroit Pistons?
Detroit Pistons. The Bad Boys.
And so that's interesting because the Pistons have to do with the Motor City.
Like, so it's in the engine. It's a part of the engine.
Part of the engine. Yeah, I like that. I like that. That's decent.
Well, you have to promise that we'll have a part two because you have to let us share a link or two of when you're going to get your motor running again, so to speak.
That tie-in. That segue.
I like that transition. That tied that segue. Your motor running.
She was nice with that.
So when you're going to spread your wings and fly again.
Okay. She on the roll, Steve. She on the roll. She on the roll. Gave us some nuggets and now she out here eating.
Because I really would like to share that and let people know because I had a fabulous time watching you and the people that you brought up to the stage was amazing. And and you know what? To be honest with you, I don't get out much. I like to be, you know, home, believe it or not. I know people think, oh, you're always going to, but I really like to support friends, family members who are doing things that just bring joy to other people. You know?
And I enjoy it.
And the fact that you have allowed me to share your story and parts of your story. There's so much more to you.
So Steve,
we scratched the surface.
Had a conversation today. This was us catching up. This is you know what this was? This was us on the telephone.
I love it.
This was a conversation between me, you, and Sam on the telephone and us catching up, really. Because we didn't even talk about her, right? We just did it on me today. I didn't catch up on her. But like I said, I'm that friend that I'm okay.
He's never going to get that on camera.
What?
That side.
What does he want?
You're never going to get that friend telling you about me on camera.
We'll get there.
Because there's nothing.
There's nothing to me.
No, I mean, there's a lot to you.
No, not that. But you know. But there's what you see is what you
get. I'm going to tell you the truth. She was a student athlete who studied her behind off. I never seen somebody that study like Sandra study. And she has just a nice penmanship. She wrote very nice, very nice penmanship.
Oh, I did have nice penmanship.
Yeah, she's nice. She was very, very focused and diligent. But she was like the mother to everybody.
I believe. Because I had a chance to see her around like other Villanova moms and like now and then dad. Yes. Like she takes on that role.
She is the mom, but you know, it's like no nonsense. Like, then people didn't come with just BS stories. They would come with some heavy hitting, like, Sandra. And like, how she looking now? She in there doing, wow, right? Usually friends coming in with drunken, crazy stories and stuff like that. No. And she was selective, you know. And like I said, people treat you how you treat yourself, right? So people knew not to just come, you know.
With the foolishness,
like I when we were roommates, I felt honored myself because I was like, yeah, now y'all really know how I get down. You see this? That's my friend. So she's my friend. So y'all thought we was playing. Now we not playing. And we were like night and day, totally night and day. But it worked. It totally worked. And she had a summer. It was summer. We had summer school. She had a summer. I had a summer. We went home, and it was the fantastic summer. But I could not tell you I couldn't even tell you what clothes she wore. Because I would, hey, Sam, bye, Sam. You good, Sam? We chit-chat. Girl, real.
What's for dinner?
We go.
What's for mm-hmm. dinner? Whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those were mm-hmm. the things.
Well, this has been awesome. Well, so, but if you do, if you ever want to get to Detroit or Chicago, I do know people that that book clubs at both of those places. So even if you want to get up and get some time, let me know.
No, I appreciate it. I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna do it because I've never done it before. Like I'm gonna take myself on tour.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna do it like a tour, right? I'm just gonna go and show up and do stuff. Now I promised my writing partner that I would have. For Christmas I got a joke book. Write your jokes here. Because that's a fundamental part of, you know, writing. It's great to be off the dome, but that's not honoring the craft as they say. But I'm looking forward to what's to come. But I thank you all for today. This was the highlight of my day. I literally was like, I had to make it to 4 o'clock. Right? And because I saw 3 o'clock, I thought it was 3 o'clock Eastern, it was 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock. And I was like, ooh, but I had to make it to today. So thank you so much. And Steve, it was nice meeting you. And Stan, I love this show. I watched the previous one, so I figured I was hoping that it came on here and did right, because I was like, oh, she got heavy hitters. Let me come in and do right by my friend.
In my book, you did for sure. This was a lot of fun.
You did. Yes, and again, like I said, you made me think a lot about now. Every time I get on a plane, I'm going to be thinking about various things. Or I may call you and say, wait a minute. They just said X. Can you check with some of your students about this? What does this mean?
See, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You know why you'll be in good hands? Because the people who are in aviation, like I said before, they're all about safety. And, you know, I'm thankful and glad that I've come at this time, but just to see the innovations, to hear the conversations, and to be in the room, hearing the decisions that are being made, everyone's in good hands. People are really serious about making sure that we can get to A to Z, because it's the only way we can get around this planet the way we need to. So they are serious about making sure our space is safe. So you're going to be just fine, my friend. You're going to be just fine.
Well, and if people have heard this and they're like, I need that humor consultant. I need, you know, where do we send them? What's the best way to get them connected to you?
Well, you can send them to www.monarchpros.com. That is my website, where you can see all the listings and offerings that we do, from individual coaching to team coaching to executive coaching. We also do presentations, speaking engagements. My business partner just released a book, Success, and I'm excited about that. It's number 2 on Amazon, bestseller, so I'm really excited about that. And he's really, it is amazing just to want to help people talk about success, but in a way that is tangible. We're just taking 2024 for what it is, and looking forward to helping people and learning from them too. Because I love learning. I'm a lifelong learner. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And continued blessings to you and your families, both of you.
Yes, and you as well, sweets. We'll talk soon. Okay. Well, that was good, Steve.
That was. She is fun. I think there's probably a New York meetup, if not a Detroit one. If you're planning on going to Detroit, she's never been to Detroit. Detroit's a good town that appreciates a good sense of humor.
I heard a lot of good things about Detroit now. They're building everything up again, and you know, it's starting to be the place, or it's a place to reconnect. I've only been there once, and I was very young, you know, with my parents, that I couldn't tell you anything. And the one or two times that I've been in Michigan, it's been around the universities, so I've never been in the city of Detroit. So looking forward to that. Hopefully we can get that done. But I, you know, I'd never thought of humor being a language. And it
a contract. She called it a contract. You know, when somebody, a verbal contract, when somebody laughs at something, they're essentially
in agreement.
Acknowledging it as true, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, and you know, and the fact that she said that, how she validated or was able to validate, you know, her talent was through therapy. It's just like, you know, wow. Because when you think of people who make you laugh, you think that they don't, I mean, this is probably ignorant of me to say, but you don't think that they hurt.
Yeah.
When you're making people laugh, where is there room for hurt, right? And it makes a lot of sense. So I can't wait. Like, again, I went to one of her shows, and she's had several, and then I was moving all around. So, but the show, and she had, I mean, local talent, but also known talent that she was helping to promote. And so I'm definitely going to let you know when something, or even like, maybe it's even filmed or videoed, I don't know, but she's really good. I truly appreciated just some of the life lessons that she brought to the table and just how she uses humor to help others. And, you know, that's what we need.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the most impressive things that I can see in people is people that can, yes, make people laugh, but then can also then flip that and then just be able to speak truth to people, you know, in a way that's serious, that is, you know, and you could tell she's just that person. She's a person that I'd be like, where does this come from, laughing on a stage? But then if she looked at me in the eye and she called out something in me, I'd believe it. You know, she just has, she seems to have that just sense about her. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are the funny person. There's a lot of people that are the serious person, but it takes a pretty dynamic person to be able to be both of that to the same person, to multiple people all at the same time, maybe even within the same sentence. And you can tell she's one of those people, and it's very impressive.
Very impressive. So I'm so glad that she got on to our show today and that you were able to meet her.
Yeah.
I think there could be like a battle between the two of you.
I would lose. She would, whatever the battle was, she would probably win it. But yeah, I would give my best try.
Yeah, no, but she definitely has a way of kind of combining the two and making all those around her feel a little bit better about what they're doing or where they're going and how they see themselves. So definitely a gem. So we appreciate her. Hope to have her on again, maybe seeing her in a different light, you know.
Yeah. Or instead, we'll just record one of her shows and we'll just do just a quick intro and then just show that and call it.
We can do like one of those unplugged where we're watching and they were like talking, because that's a thing now. People an unplugged, like there's been some games on where there's like commentary while the people are watching.
Is that like kind of what the Manning brothers do? Is that that kind of thing?
Yeah, they do it good. I like what they do. That's like real. They're funny.
That's funny. Like back in the day, was it Mystery Science Theater where they'd watch an old movie and then comment like that kind of? Yeah.
So maybe we can do that with one of her episodes or shows or something like that. But yep. Well, I can't wait to show you or share with you who's next on the docket.
Yeah.
We've got, of course, some good people coming up.
Yeah.
And
when the emails come flying, people will know I'm kind of bad with email, but anytime it's Sandra telling me what guest may or may not be on, I'm like clicking and then watching all the links and the videos. And these are things I get really, really excited about.
Next time we record, wear your favorite jersey.
Wear my favorite jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I hope I remember this. Annalie, you're going to have to remind us. Okay, let's see. And it can't be one of those teams behind you.
Wait, it can't be one of the teams behind me?
No.
I don't
know. And I'm not trying to prop up. Do you have anything else?
I was going
to
say, I don't know. I truly don't know that I own anything that's not one
of those. Okay, so take that away. You can wear one of those, then. You can wear one of those.
I do have a number one Villanova jersey, but
football.
It's Stevie's, and I wouldn't even be able to put that over this head. So
it'd be like right here, the scarf. Okay, mascot. So football jersey. We'll stick to football.
Okay,
I'll dig up one of mine.
All right, let's do it.
It might be all old and rusty, but I'll find one.
I know exactly which one I'll wear, but it's gonna
be one of those
two. So awesome. Well, we'll see you all on the next episode of the Motherlode Show.